I want to challenge you this morning. How can we do something like this? The answer is yes, we can. We can all do what God calls us to do because it's not our power, it's His power. And what I want to do is, I'm not doing this to be funny. I want to show you something that sometimes we read and we read so much that we don't pay attention to it anymore. You know, most missionaries, when they'll come through, they want to go to Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Isn't that right? Have you noticed that? Do you know what it says? Matthew 28, 19, 20? Let's go there and look at it. I don't want to disappoint you. I'm a missionary. Let's go look at it. Matthew 28, 19, 20. If all missionaries do it, I must do it then. It must be a must-do. I do want to show you something. This is scripture that's the Great Commission. We've read it over and over, but I'm really not going to concentrate so much on 19 and 20. It's another verse that I want to show you that makes 19 and 20 possible. First of all, we know what we're supposed to do by reading Matthew 28, 19, 20. As a church, we know what our job is. Now, it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It is absolute a commandment. And it says so right here. It says, verse 19, excuse me, wow, it's horrible. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them. So see, there's you go ye therefore. If you read that Mark, it says go evangelize. Teaching all nations, that's making disciples, and teaching, growing them up, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There's our great commission for the church. That's not for the angels to do. It's not for your pastor to do, but for the leadership to train the church to do. That's what we're supposed to be doing in the church. And verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever. Now he says to teach them to observe everything, all things, whatsoever I have suggested unto you. Wait a minute. Oh, it didn't say suggested, did it? What's the word there? Commanded. See, that's the word. It says, teach them to observe. It's what Christ is telling the disciples. Everyone you're teaching, teach them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you to do. It's commanded to them, and lo, I'm with you always until the end of the world. So the what is we're to evangelize, we're to grow up people, teaching them, making disciples, and to baptize them. That's the job. That's the what. But now, how? The Lord never commanded us to do anything that we can't do. Every one of us can do what He's commanded us to do. Every one of us can evangelize, we can teach, and we can baptize. And I tell people this all the time. Yes, I can evangelize. I can present the gospel in a way that's very clearly understood, but it's not my job to convince you. That's the Holy Spirit's job. God didn't call us to convince. We're supposed to present very clearly so that the Holy Spirit can draw that person. Have you ever presented the gospel to somebody and they tremble and cry in front of you? I have. Well, I wasn't touching them. They were under conviction and they were listening, but I want to make sure I present the gospel clearly. That's my job. If they get saved or if they don't get saved, I deserve a pat on the back for doing my job, not because they got saved or not. So I can. So yes, I can do that. I can teach. I can teach what I know. I can't teach what I don't know, but I can teach what little I do know. So I can do that. But then when I do that, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to open up the understanding of that person listening, just like He does when I read my Bible. The Holy Spirit will open up my understanding of the Bible. So when we're sharing and teaching, the Holy Spirit will open that mind up of that person and they'll understand. I don't have to open their mind up. That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to bring to open the mind into understanding. And then to baptizing, okay? Now when it comes to baptism, now, I can baptize you. I can get you soaking wet in 3 seconds. Just whop, just like that. But you know, I can't bless. So where's the blessings come from? The blessings come from the Holy Spirit. God's going to bless our obedience. So what I'm saying is, what God's asked us to do with the physical part, He's going to do on the spiritual part, isn't He? So can we do what God's called us to do? Sure we can. And here's how. Look in verse 18. Here's the key. Look what Jesus said before He commanded this. He said, and Jesus came and He spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now that's a mouthful. He says right here, all power, every power that exists, I have all power, He says, in heaven and in earth. All power over the angels, over the demons, over Satan. He's got all power. And if he has all power of everything in heaven and on earth, that means he has full control. He has full control and full power. He says, and his power was given to him. Who gave him this power? God the Father. So Jesus, it says, in the Bible it tells us that he does not feel like it's robbery to be equal with God. God gave him all power. God did that, the Father. Jesus Christ, our captain, our Savior, our Lord, has all power. And what he says is, and you read it together without that pause, Jesus is saying, how all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. The what? Go ye therefore. Go ye therefore. Because of that. This is how. This is why. I have all power. It's through me. I can do all things in Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Not in my flesh, not in my own desires, but I can do everything He's commanded me to do because of His power. I have all power in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore, teaching and baptizing. So, yes, we can. Now, we will start saying, well, I don't think that's my gift, or, well, that's not on my day off, or I don't have time. And now, let me tell you, those are lies from our flesh. Now, just a little pause here for a second. Have you ever read in the Scripture where our flesh is against the Holy Spirit? Has anybody ever read that? Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. My flesh is against the Holy Spirit. Do you know who's against Christ? The devil? Did you know the devil and my flesh are just like that? Did you know in the Bible it says that when I die, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God? Anyone ever read that? Yeah. Did you know when we die, that our spirit and our soul leaves, but our flesh does not? Have you ever been to a funeral? Have you ever walked up and seen Uncle Tom? You go, hey, knock on that casket. Hey, Uncle Tom, what you doing down there? Uncle Tom don't say nothing. Uncle Tom's not home. He's gone. But that flesh and blood can't go. It's corrupt. Did you know that flesh and blood right here is my bigger enemy? Satan's not everywhere, but this sorry rascal's tongue to me every day. The Bible says I have to die daily to my flesh, to those desires of the flesh. Because my flesh is against the Holy Spirit, and it's against God, it's against His commandments. And my flesh will lie to me, just like the devil. Did you know in Satan worship, have you ever read anything about Satan worship? Did you know in Satan worship in their church, they do not teach you to worship Satan. You know what the heartthrob of satanic worship is? To serve yourself. You are God. Exactly what the devil said to Eve. Oh, if you'll eat of that fruit, you'll be a God, just like that. Yeah, it's the same thing he did with Jesus in the temptation. Well, you bow down to me, I'll give you all this. You can serve yourself. You ain't got to die on that cross. See, that's what our flesh says. My flesh says to me in the morning, and here's a good example of it. Now, you're going to relate to this because it happens to you too. You wake up in the morning, and this is what I hear. My flesh says to me, hey, Larry, how you doing this morning, Larry? Good to see you this morning, Larry. What do you want to do this morning, Larry? What do you want to eat this morning, Larry? Do you want cereal or do you want eggs? It's whatever you want, Larry. You're the man. We're going to fix it for you. What do you want to wear this morning? You want to go to work? If you don't want to go to work, that's okay. We'll call him and tell him you ain't got to. That's what my flesh does to me. Y'all have that problem? You have your flesh telling you, you're the man, you're the woman, you got this. It's whatever you want. But it's my flesh that's lying to me, saying it's my idea. But in my spirit, in my soul, I'm saying, I want to serve God, but my flesh says, oh, yes, but not right now. And so my flesh, what it does too, when I've got this commandment from God to evangelize, to make disciples and baptize, when it comes to evangelize, my flesh tells me, well, not right now, it's not a good time. Right? You're tired, Larry. You've worked all week long, and this is Saturday, your only day off. You don't need to go out there and evangelize it Saturday morning. Larry, it's hot. It's 104 degrees, buddy. Check the temperature. You know, it's hot there every day there. It's hot there. Or you know what? You got to get the grass cut. Go evangelize, okay, but get that grass cut first. And after that grass cut, you know you got to get them dishes washed. But right after that, and then by nighttime, you haven't gone. My flesh lies to me. And it keeps me from evangelizing. Why? It's the commandment. It's the what. I can through Christ Jesus. But my flesh fights against evangelizing. Oh, if you want to go have a good chicken dinner with somebody at the church, that's fine. But that's not against the commandment. But the commandment says evangelize. Don't do that. Well, I'm going to go out and evangelize. Larry, don't knock on that door. They're eating this morning. Larry, you might offend them. Larry, you don't want to do that. You don't want to offend people. Don't mention that out at the restaurant. Somebody might hear you. Does your flesh tell you these things too? Of all the reasons you can't? Okay, well what about teaching? Well, I can't teach that class. Pastor says, can I get you to teach that third grade boys? I can't teach that class. You know, ask Jimmy. Jimmy can teach that class better than me. Well, can I just interrupt you today? Jimmy can probably teach that class better than you, and probably about 15 more people in this church can probably teach that class better than you. But if God has given you that opportunity, He's going to use you, and the Holy Spirit's going to guide you, and you're going to grow through that opportunity, but your flesh says, oh, don't make disciples. Don't teach. How about baptism? We ain't got a bit of problem going out in public swimming with 100 people all day long on a Saturday, but when it comes to baptism, we can't dare get in that water. We're embarrassed. Stop for a minute and think about what goes through our mind. That's our flesh. Or then it says, let's get baptized, but let's just wait for mom and dad to get saved. We'll do it as a family. He don't call us to do it as a family. It's an individual thing. We have to be careful and realize, wait a minute, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's my flesh. My flesh fights against doing the commandments. My flesh is just like that with the devil. And I got to go, wow. Have you ever read in the Bible where it says that we all have to give an account when we die to the Lord for the things we've done? He's talking about the things we've done of obedience of a commandment. Did you know that when we die, we all have to give an account? And this situation said, well, I didn't have time. Well, Lord, you know I had to work 6 days a week. Well, Lord, you know I wanted to. And it, Lord, you know I love you. And the Lord says, no, you don't. John 3:16. Why? Why? God has all the power. That's the how. The what is to evangelize. Why do we do that? Why do we evangelize and teach? John 3:16. We won't even have to turn it. What's the first six words? For God so loved the world. The world, that's why. God loves the world. So my flesh says, nope, ain't doing that. And the devil will give me every reason in the world, but my flesh is right there with it going, yeah, that's right, devil, we're buddies. Like I said in Mexico, we're cuates. We're buds. But my flesh is against me. The devil's against me, but my biggest enemy is my flesh. It's not the devil. He can't be all over the place, but my flesh is with me all the time and discourages me. And then we say, Lord, you know, I love you. He says, no, you really don't. John 14, verse 15. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, what does it say after that? Keep my commandments. Well, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, Lord, you know I love you. Well, then keep my commandments. Look here in verse 21. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Look at verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. So what he's saying is, and there's many other places I could take you to, that's enough. But he's saying, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. To God, love is not just that warm, fuzzy feeling. I just love you. I just love you. You know, we get so confused with love, you know. We love our spouse, but we also love our truck, and we love our dog, and we love our lawnmowers. You know, but God said love is not that feeling there. Love is what? Obeying my commandments. If you love me, you'll obey me. And my commandment is to evangelize, to make disciples or teach, and to get baptized. That's my commandment. If you love me, you'll obey me. And I said, well, Lord, you know I love you. No, you don't, Larry. No, I really do. No, you really don't, Larry. Lord, I feel you right here, man. No, you don't. Because if you loved me, you would obey me. Now, we understand that. How many of us have children? Teenage children. Okay. How many times have we ever repeated in our, and maybe our son and daughter kind of got a little smart mouth, maybe the mom, and said something, and the dad steps in and goes, hey, if you loved your mother, you wouldn't talk to her like that. Have we ever said anything like that? Yeah, what we're saying is your actions is telling on you. That's what it's saying. If you loved, you wouldn't act that way. The Lord is saying, if you love me, you'd obey me. And if you don't, it's because you don't love me. Well, Lord, you know I love you. It's not that. Well, what is it then, dear Larry? Well, you know, I don't have time. I'm working and I've got to do that. And he says, no, Larry, it's not that you don't have time. You actually do. You've got as much time as anyone else. Larry, your problem is I'm not your priority. I'm not a priority. But if you love me, you'd make me a priority. And can I tell you, if you love the Lord more than yourself, there's going to be days that you're going to be frustrated and fried, and you might even be nauseated. Have you ever obeyed the Lord when your flesh is fighting you to the point you've been nauseated? I have. I have fought going to evangelism when I didn't want to go on a Saturday morning, but that's when we go, Saturday morning, okay? I didn't want to go, and I mean literally nauseated. My flesh can make me feel like I want to puke. I'm so glad I've gone every time I've gone. But I got to fight on my hands, and it never gives up. My flesh is relentless. But he says, daily I have to die to that flesh. If you love me, you'll go against your feelings, because your flesh tells you to do it for you, but it ain't for you at all. That's a fight against the Lord. And did you know that when we got saved, and we're going to close with this, This is good. I want to share something with you that will encourage you. And everything I'm sharing with you is to encourage you. First of all, let's don't make excuses, because that's what they are. Okay, they're excuses. When we say, well, I can't, my work, that, we can adjust things around where we can obey the Lord if we want to. Everybody does what they want to do. That's how we make our priorities in life. I guarantee you we all do what we want to do. If I want to go fishing, I'll make a way. If I have to work all day Saturday, I'll be out there at midnight. I've done it. I'll make a way. We do what we want to do. But here's something, a lot of times there's a lie that we believe. There's other places I'd like to go to, but a lot of time we're not going to do it. But, you know, I'll just say in a paraphrase real quick. In Matthew chapter 24, on your own, you can read this at home, verses 6 through 14. You know, we think the Lord, when the Lord comes back, it's always the wars, the rumors of wars that we have, and all the pestilence and all those earthquakes. But he said, this is the beginning of sorrows. In fact, Pastor, I see you turning. Will you turn there real quick for me? Can I get you to go to Matthew 24 and read verse 14? This is the end of it. You got to hear this. You need to go home and read this now. This will be homework. It'll take you all day long, 30 seconds, okay? But when you hear this, I'll ask the pastor if you just stand up and read that, and I'm going to go somewhere else and share something with you for the sake of time. Listen to verse 14. He goes through and the Lord says, it ain't the pestilence, it's not all the rumors of wars and all these things. That's not when I'm coming back. Here it is. Then the end comes. The end comes when everybody's heard. It's not when we have an increase of earthquakes or wars. It's when everybody's heard. Why? For God so loved the world. What did he do? He gave his son. How is it possible? Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and earth. The what? The church evangelizes and teaches and baptizes. Not the angel's job. It's our job. It's our job. And we're going to be held accountable. Every tongue shall confess, yes, that he is Lord. But every Christian will face him face to face and give an account for what he's done. What, doing what? In obedience to the commandments. Now, here's where it is. Can we do it? Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Si, se puede, as we say in Spanish. Si, se puede. Yes, we can. But look at this. I'm going to give you some scripture to just listen to this. When you got saved, how many of you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you remember something happened that day? You felt different? Yeah, you thought different. You started loving different. Do you remember that? Something changed in you. You can't explain it. It just went poof, and it happened. Remember that? Okay. Well, this is what happened. At the moment we received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we got a new father. Remember in John 8, it talks about your father's the devil. Okay, there's two fathers in the Bible. Now, one's God the Father. The devil's not a father, but he likes to think he is. But he saw that that's who you serve. Well, we're not under that family. We're not under the devil's power no more in this world, the prince of the air. We got a father in heaven. We got a new father. At the moment of salvation, I got a new father. And what do we call him? Abba Father. When we pray, Father in heaven, he's our father. He's now our father. We have a captain. Now, our father in Philippians 4, 19 and 20, 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 through 13. We have a captain. Hebrews 2, 9 and 10. Jesus is our captain. He is our Lord in Psalms 9. He is now our Savior, 2 Peter 3:18. Jesus Christ is our captain, our Lord, and our Savior at the moment of salvation. His Spirit come to dwell inside of me. The job is to bring conviction, to guide me, open my eyes of understanding when I read the Scriptures, to be a light unto my path. This is John 14, 26, 1 Corinthians 6, 19. So I got the Trinity. I got the Father, and I got the Son, and I got His Spirit. At the moment of salvation, I got a family in Romans 8, 14 through 16. And we prove that. You know why? I'll show you. Hi, brothers. Hi, sisters. We call each other brother and sister. Well, if it wasn't true, why do we do that? We've got a family. You're my family. I didn't get to meet you until today, but we're family. And a lot of you are showing love towards me. What's your problem? You don't know me? It's because you got love right there. Something happened. We got that Spirit. You had a love for me, and I've got a love for you. Do you see what happened there? We're family. What else did we get? We got a guide. We got His Word right here in our own language that we can read. We got a manual. We got a job. We just read Matthew 28:19-20. We're to evangelize. We're to teach and make disciples, and we're to baptize. So we got everything we need. We're already there, and we got the job. And that's why He's going to hold us accountable at the end. See, did you do the job? Church, it was your job, not the angels. Well, there's one thing we don't have yet. We don't have a celestial body. We get that later. Do you know why? You don't need it. We're not talking to angels and celestial bodies. We're talking to terrestrial bodies. We're talking to people that hurt like we do. We're talking to people. We need to be able to look eye to eye and make contact with them. We get our celestial body later. We don't need it right now. We've got to have that compassion and understanding. You see what I'm saying? We're in a perfect situation. We're there. We have arrived. Congratulations, everyone that received Christ as Lord and Savior. You've got a Father, and you've got a Lord, and a Captain, and a Savior, and a Spirit, His Spirit. You've got His manual. You've got a job. You've got a family. You've got His guide. Wow! We're going to get a new body later. So don't think, well, I've gotten saved, and I know when Jesus comes back, He'll tell us what we're going to do. No, that's anti-biblical. He's already told us what to do. And you know what going to the mission field is? Nothing different. My pastor told me when I left, he said, if you're not doing it at home, you won't do it out there. Because at home, you got some helps here to keep you encouraged. When you get out there, you're not going to have any. But it's the same job, just a different language and different culture. So if God calls you to do it, if you can do it at home, you can do it out there, right? Because through His strength and His power. So, yes, we can. And yes, we ought to. And I'm going to say this. This is how I'd like for us to end in prayer. Every one of us can look and examine our own hearts. Nobody knows where you are except for you, and nobody can answer for you except for you. But you know exactly where you're at. Maybe we stop and go, wow, I've made some mistakes. You can't change a thing you did this morning before you got here. You might have been yelling at each other in a car before you got here, and as soon as you close that door, you change that face and go, God bless you, brother. I don't know. Maybe you did. And you can't change that. You can't change it, but you know what you can do? Are we ready to see Him? You say, well, I'm still young. Well, I'm going to tell you about a pastor's daughter that just lost her life about 5 weeks or 6 weeks ago on a Sunday going home real quick to run out to meet him to eat. She was about 32 years old, worked with Chick-fil-A, and got hit by a drunk driver, run through an intersection, and killed the pastor's daughter. This is about 5 or 6 weeks ago. We're just sitting down eating with him, grieving with him. You're not promised further than today. Are you ready to see him? I think we all could probably just close our eyes right now and just pray for ourselves. Say, Lord, is there something in me? Have you asked me to teach a class, and I've said no, and you're not even asking me anymore? Is there something you've asked me to do that I don't even remember anymore? Can you remind me again, please? And then can you give me the strength to do what it is you told me to do? Is there something I need to ask you to forgive me for? Lord, if it's there, just show me. Maybe I don't remember anymore. Can you just please just tell me again, and I'll ask you to forgive me for it. Will you give me the strength to obey you and do what it is and start right now this day in obeying you? And I'm going to need your strength because my flesh is saying no about right now. Can we do that? Can we just close our eyes? And everybody, we'll make it personal, but individual. So let's close our eyes together. And let's just all pray and ask the Lord to show us, is there something that we need to ask forgiveness for Him to show us what it is He's told us once before we've said no to, that we need to go back and say, Lord, I'm saying yes to. Now I'm scared. Now give me the strength and guide me and direct me and through this. And as we all pray, let's all pray for ourselves. He's listening. And I want to pray for you at the same time. Father, we come to you now in prayer. We are so sorry that at times we lose our focus and we don't even realize we have. We're so sorry that we so easily can be led different directions by our flesh and not fulfill what you've commanded us to do. We pray you'll forgive us for that. That was not our intentions. Father, as you've got our attention this morning, we pray that you'll forgive us. And Father, there's something that you've given us opportunity to do, something you've told us to do or shared, put on our heart, and we just denied it to the point you don't even tell us anymore. We pray you'll forgive us for that and tell us again. Let us know again what is it we're supposed to be doing, and then give us the strength to say yes, and then guide us and direct us in the how and the when and through our leadership. Father, I pray that you'll just use us to turn this city and this area around us on its head for Christ. Because, Father, we have all that we need to do it. We just have to believe it. And we have to walk by faith and do right here what we're supposed to be doing. The missionary is not supposed to do anything different than what we're supposed to be doing at home. We're partners together. The missionary doesn't do anything different than what he did at home. Just a different language, a different culture. Same message, same God. Same word, just a different language. Oh, Father, please help us and forgive us. Never was our intentions to be disobedient or lazy or unfaithful, but we need your help. We need you to forgive us and give us the strength because we can do all things in Christ Jesus. And his word says, I have all power in heaven and on earth. So, yes, we can. No more excuses. We take responsibility, but we may not know how, where to start, how to begin. Maybe we need to learn how to evangelize. I don't know, but you do. Show each and every one of us where we are and help us at this moment to repent and ask your forgiveness and your strength. And we pray that you'll do this, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your time this morning, Pastor. If you'll come, I appreciate it. It's good to get to know you. Please, at the end, if you haven't got a prayer card, we've got one there waiting for you. Lord bless you.
I hope you were encouraged, but more than that, challenged. I appreciate Brother Albright sharing with us and challenging us because it's kind of neat. We talk about the Great Commission, and often we forget where the power comes from. When God sends us out, it's not by our own power. He's sending us out because he has the power to send us out. And in Sunday school, Brother Albright shared something jokingly, and I don't know that it stood out to anybody else, talking about Latino time. They're never on time. They're late. All the time. They see someone, we've got to have a long conversation. It doesn't matter what the appointment is. And he made one little phrase, and I wrote it down. Because of them, people are more important than time. I think we've kind of gotten the opposite of what the Latino time is. Latino time sees people and they forget everything else because of that person. We have scheduled our life so much. We have forgotten the purpose God has given us people. We have a great commission. Maybe I'm too busy to be a witness to my neighbor. I'm too busy working. I'm too busy doing good things to minister. I'm too busy to study for a Sunday school lesson. I'm too busy. What has happened? Time has become more valuable than people. We've got to be careful. Because what we do by that is miss out on the blessings that God wants to give us with his power. Just recently talking to a pastor friend of mine that's really hurting and going through some struggles. And he shared with me, Ron, I'm afraid what has happened is God has given me opportunities that I hadn't taken because I was busy with ministry. And in those opportunities, he had blessings for me and the joy for me that I haven't received. And so I'm praying right now for God's clarity on where he wants me and what he wants me to do. And I think sometimes our stress in our lives and our frustration in our lives and our lack of joy and our stress and is because we're so busy with busy that we've forgotten our calling. And so rather than doing a closing song, which we're going to do today, we're just going to have a short time of invitation. Would you stand with me? And we could look around and we could pray for so much and so many others. We've got a bulletin full of prayers. We've got missionaries with us. But let's stop a second and pray, Lord, where am I failing to let your power work through me? Where am I failing to be your instrument to fulfill your calling? Right now, I need to be faithful in Humiston, because if you call me to Mexico, I won't be faithful there. If you are faithful right now and you're reaching people, you're knocking on doors, you're witnessing to your neighbor, you know the joy of the Lord in doing that. There's no greater joy than to see tears coming down the eyes of a broken heart because they just understood the gospel for the first time. If you never witnessed that, until you start being faithful, you won't. And that'll only happen not because you're great at presenting the gospel, but because you let the powerful one be great through you. So let's have a time of invitation saying this: Lord, search me and know me and try me and lead me. Father, we love you. We thank you for being right here with us. Lord, I ask that you have this time. Open our eyes, challenge our heart, that we would clear some of our schedule, that we would remember that time was given to us to serve you, to honor you, and one day it'll be too late. Let us want to be faithful to you now. Lord, I ask that you take this time of invitation and really challenge us, convict us, but also open our eyes that we'd let your power work in us. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. With heads bowed, eyes closed, piano plays, will you step out? Maybe you'll humble yourself for the Lord. He cannot lift you up until you will humble yourself. Will you humble yourself? Come and kneel before him and not worry about what anybody else is thinking, knowing that you're obedient to God. Will you step out? Will you grab your wife, put your arm around her, and say, right now, I'm going to honor you the way I'm supposed to. And things at home are going to change. Will you grab your kid and say, hun, I'm going to love you to the admonition of the Lord. Say, Lord, how do you want me to serve you in your church? How do you want me to be a light in your community?